We'll get back into Galatians. And Paul writes to the saints there out of concern for them, out of the concern for false doctrines that have been brought into the midst of them, over the concern for, looking to self and looking to rituals and looking to externals rather than looking to Christ and the internal and the eternal. And so Paul addresses those false doctrines and those false teachers in no uncertain terms. He says, let them be accursed if they preach a different gospel. And at the same time, if you'll remember, he told the saints in Galatia that they worried him. He can't look at their hearts. And we can't look at people's hearts. But our regeneration ought to be manifest in our lives and how we live our lives and the comfort and peace we have, and really from knowing who Christ is. We don't all know theology, we don't all know all the ins and outs, but if we're one of His, we know Christ, and we know who Christ, God reveals Christ to us, even as He did to Peter. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto me, but my Father which is in heaven. And it kind of comes down to that. So he's been speaking of his concern for them. And it continues on, I think we left off. And he's speaking now, he's concerned for their for their loss of joy, their loss of peace. The peace that we ought to have in Christ. And when we start looking to ourselves, when we start looking to external rituals, and you see this so much amongst folks that are, Arminian. It's like, did I say the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Did I have the right things done to me? Did the priest do the right things? Jesus Christ did all the right things. Right. It is finished! And there's our peace and comfort. And so Paul's concerned, as the Galatians seem to possibly being turned away. And we'll pick up in verse 12. He says, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You have not injured me. And several times he's used the term brethren, and as he spoke to the saints in Galatia, he can't look at their hearts. He has the hope that that they're truly the regenerate children of God. And he still calls them brethren. He errs, if you will, on the side of charity. And when it's consistent with truth, that's not a bad thing to do. These Christ deniers that we see it abound in the world today that speak out against the fundamentals of faith, that speak out against the doctrines of Christ and His virgin birth and resurrection, those are not our brethren. It's obvious. Those false cults and religions that abound, those are not our brethren. Those folks that came in there and were preaching, except a man be circumcised, Paul didn't call them brethren. He said, let them be accursed. But Paul still has hope for the saints here. He knew them. He loved them. He saw them, at least outwardly, make a profession. And so he says, brethren. And then he says as well, he says, I beseech you. Now, Paul had certain authorities as an apostle. But for these matters of the heart and the soul, you can't command people. As I kind of said earlier, I don't try to tell people how to live. I try to tell them how the scriptures say they ought to live. I try to tell them what God has taught me, but I can't fix anybody. I can't make anybody conform to the Word of God. Hopefully, you know, that's what they would want to conform to. I don't certainly don't want them to conform to me or just to what I have to say. So Paul says, I beseech you. That speaks of a kind and a gentle entreating. I implore you. Almost I beg of you. Says, I beseech you, be as I am. Well, how was Paul? You know, he was a proud Pharisee. He had all the right tickets punched. He did all the right things. But now he understood that he was free from that law. He was free from servitude to it. He was free to bondage to it. He was free to serve Christ. And we've talked about this before, you know. Let's see. You know, we're not under the law. We're under grace. But that means, by and large, our lives ought to be something that reflects above the law. And how many times I've used this example, but like, you know, if we don't feed forced, somebody say, that dog's wasting away, they're not taking care of them. They could call the sheriff or call the animal control. They can come in here, you know, and arrest us and fine us. And so we feed forced every day because we're afraid we'll get arrested if we don't. That's not why we do it. We do it out of a motivation of love. And that's kind of like in our Christian lives, ought to be motivated from law. I'm not under that law. That law has no effect on me. It means nothing to me. Whether that law was on the books or not, I would feed my dog. Or my children, if you want to make it that way. You know, that law, we're not under, but as Christians, for the moral aspects of the law, we naturally, or we ought to naturally, live those things. And so Paul says, I beseech you, be as I am. He reckoned himself dead to those old things. To those old things that were done to try to commend himself to God or to get his ticket punched. Well, the rites and the rituals and the things that he thought he was doing so he would be accepted. He says, be as I am. Paul had laid aside the observance of days, as he spoke of earlier, we looked last week. He'd laid aside the observance of days and months and times and years. He'd laid aside those parts of the ceremonial law that indeed pointed to Christ, but had been fulfilled in Christ. Elsewhere, Paul says he counts them but dung. You know, he counts them but a pile of excrement, all those things. Particularly those things he had done in order of trying to commend himself to God. So he beseeches you. He says, be as I am. I was a proud Jew and a Pharisee. You weren't any of that. And yet I'm not trying to conform myself to these things or put myself under these things in order to commend myself to God. He says, I am as ye are. Okay, they were stinking Gentiles, you know. He says, I am as ye are. But what they were or professed to be, what he was a sinner saved by grace alone. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And I think everyone that really gets a true glimpse of who they are and what they are, who gets a deep look in the mirror, they say, that fella in there is the chief of sinners. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And in the context, I think he's saying that as an apostle. He's saying that in his Christian life. You know, he realized that there was nothing in him. He says, I am as you are as I am. In respect to things that are spiritual. He was a Jew. And there were benefits to that. They were Gentiles. But in the present dispensation, there were no distinction. Not in spiritual matters. Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, in Romans 10 and verse 12. He said, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord, over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Or said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all that call upon him, all that are given God-given graces of repentance and faith. Also, there's no difference. It's the same Lord. It was the same election. It was all, you know, from eternity. A couple verses back in this same book, Paul had written to the saints in Galatians 3 and verse 26. He said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He's speaking there of the churches in Galatia. They had identified with Christ. They had professed that before the world externally. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ. Paul's talking about our spiritual stance there. Of course, we talked about this in more detail earlier, and I won't go all over it again. You're not saying there aren't men and women anymore, like some of the perverts would have us believe. I see now it's even gotten into some judge in Jacksonville was saying, you know, they got to let this transsexual, they call it he, but it was a she, but to let this transsexual into the boys' bathrooms because she thinks he's he. And well, it's too confusing to explain. And obviously Paul's not saying that, and he deals with those kind of issues elsewhere. In fact, those things are a sign that we're under the judgment of God. And go back into Romans 1. I didn't mean to do that today, but if you go back into Romans 1, you know, folks say, well, you know, all this stuff that abounds about us, this homosexuality, this transsexualism, this fornication, you know, that's going to bring God's judgment. Go back and read Romans 1. That is God's judgment. God's judgment is already coming down on this country, and I'm afraid it's only going to get worse because I see no signs of repentance. But even as close as home now as Jacksonville, I read, I think, yesterday, I forget where it was in the context, but a judge ordered that all the bathrooms in the school should be able to be used by anybody of any sex whenever they want to. You would think that even an idiot could see that that's... But it's a judge, so I repeat myself. But before the cross, before Christ, Paul says, I'm like you are, you're like I am. We're all sinners, saved by grace. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And he said this to them earlier on, and that's kind of been what the whole point is here, because these false teachers have come in and said, well, you know, if you want to be saved, you got to become one of Abraham's seed, and you need to get circumcised, and you need to follow the law. Paul said, wait a minute. Abraham had a spiritual seed. And you're already it. Verse 29. He says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. They were already Abraham's seed. They were already heirs. And as I've spoken of before, you know, the fact that we're heirs is manifested in time. We don't do something to become heirs. I can't go out and make myself the heir of somebody's fortune. Donald Trump or something. I can't make myself his heir. I wouldn't want to be, but I can't make myself that. I can't do anything to either you are or you aren't. And so it is with the heirs of Christ. But it's not manifest in time until such time as the Holy Spirit regenerates us. And Paul's already dealt with that with them. And he made it manifest who they were and what they were to themselves and to others. And so Paul says, you're Abraham's seed, you're heirs, according to the promise. So he's like they are. They're like he is. They're both alike in Christ. And that's true for all true children of God. And just to touch on some things, and you could spend months going over these, so I'll just touch on a couple. So they're both alike. You know what? They were all chosen from eternity. God the Father gave a people to God the Son. And God the Son said, I will redeem that people. The everlasting covenant, Paul writes in Hebrews about the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. There have been but one way, and that's been through Christ forever. It never came by way of bulls and goats and lambs. It was by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world, the blood of the everlasting covenant. And those Gentile saints in Galatia and Paul were both alike chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ from eternity, chosen in Christ before they were. It wasn't because they decided something. It's because God decided something. And it makes me think of that typical Arminian hogwash you hear, you know, said, well, you know, God's voted for you, and the devil's voted against you, and you got to cast the deciding vote, you know, you got to decide right now. Folks, that election's already over. It happened in eternity. And the devil didn't get a vote. So Paul says we're all alike. You know, we're alike in these things. We're all chosen in Christ from before the foundation. Chosen in Christ. And that's why I believe that doctrine that some folks call me a heretic for, of eternal justification. Because I don't think you can be in Christ and not justified. Now, we don't know it until it's manifested in time. And because of our relationship to Adam, we're born dead in trespasses and sins. But the elect of God are in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And so Paul says, you know, we're the same in this. They were all chosen from eternity. They were all redeemed in time by Jesus Christ. As I've said before, it's like the old high priest in the temple. You know, he had the 12 stones on his breastplate representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. He knew his elect. He knew who they were. He died for them specifically and particularly. And he redeemed those that were his. And Paul's saying, all of you that are true saints here, we're the same. We were chosen in eternity past. We were redeemed in time in Jesus Christ. It is finished. It's done. So they're alike because they were chosen in eternity. They were redeemed in time in Jesus Christ. And then in time, they were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Those that are truly His, as Brother Hal mentioned in his prayer, God will bring them to Himself. He will give them ears to hear and eyes to see. He will raise them from their spiritual death. And they're dead. They can't receive those things. They can't comprehend those things. But Paul says we're all alike. And that we've been regenerated. We've been given life by the Spirit. And in giving that life, the Spirit grants those graces of repentance and faith. So that one repents of their sins and they turn in faith to the only salvation, Jesus Christ, the gospel of their salvation. And we'll get on to that later, probably not today. Paul talks about, I came to preach unto you the gospel. I didn't come to preach unto you the good deal or the nice offer. I came to proclaim to you the gospel. And it is finished. It's not that the gospel isn't, here's what you got to do, and here's what God will do. No, the gospel is, it is finished. It's good news. News is supposed to be about what happened. Now, you wouldn't know that today. Most of us that watch the things they call on TV news, it's like the opinion page or whatever. But the good news is supposed to be about something that's already happened, it's finished, and it's brought to you. So Paul says we're alike. We were chosen in eternity. We were redeemed at Calvary's cross. We were regenerated in time. And we were brought. God ensures that those that are His hear the gospel of their salvation. And that they exercise those graces that were given to them. That's the only time man becomes active. After he's already been regenerated, after he's already been granted repentance and faith, God allows us to exercise those gifts that He gave us. We exercise repentance. We exercise faith, but it comes from God. And we are privileged to proclaim that gospel so that there is an object to people's faith. Faith just doesn't exist by itself. Again, you would listen to some of these folks talk today and say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Have you ever heard anything more stupid in all your life? Of course it matters what you believe. There needs to be an object to your faith, and that object for the child of God is the gospel of what Jesus Christ did for His people, what He accomplished. And we're brought to embrace that. Paul says we're the same in these things. They're not servants anymore, but it's been manifested that they're heirs. They're true children. Though they didn't know it or anyone else, but they were true heirs and children. They were all equally free men in Jesus Christ. And they all will ultimately be the recipients of God's glorification. We'll be like He is. And He'll call us home, and at the resurrection we'll receive glorified bodies like unto His. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And Paul says, we're alike in these things. He says, so I'm like you are, be like I am, free from the observance of the ceremonial rituals of the law, hoping that somehow this is going to commend you to God. Free from the bondage to the law. Paul says, you and I, we're on equal footing. It's not like these false prophets that came in and said, we're up here and you're down here, but if you want to get up here, you got to accept this stuff, you got to do this stuff, you got to, all these things. Human power, human effort has to accomplish these things. And Paul's going to go on here. And identify with a lot of it. Not that I compare myself to Paul, but Paul says, you've not injured me at all. Paul wasn't concerned about himself, you know. Paul wasn't concerned about nickels and noses. He wasn't concerned about the results. He wasn't concerned about what other people were going to think about his ministry. Paul says, you know what? You haven't injured me at all. I mean, do they think Paul's acting out of jealousy? Out of anger? No. If they've injured anyone, they've injured themselves. And we can't really injure God because we can't damage God. We can't diminish God. But we can besmirch his testimony before men. So Paul wasn't concerned about himself or what folks would think about him. He wasn't jealous. He wasn't acting out of personal injury or out of a party spirit. But Paul was concerned for scriptural truth and for the good of the saints in Galatia. He wasn't acting out of anger. He wasn't acting out of resentment. And I hope, you know, that we would never act that way. But we, I mean me. And sometimes I see folks that stand up behind pulpits with a whole lot more folks up there. And it's like, it's more about them than it is about anything else. But Paul says, I want you to know something. This isn't about me. You haven't injured me at all. You haven't crossed me. You've crossed some more important things that we'll talk about. And then he goes on and he talks about how they cared for him, their kindness towards him. And he talks about his own frailties and ailments and shortcomings. That's what I can identify with, by the way. We'll talk more about that. Paul had shortcomings. He had ailments. And there's things, if you read the scriptures closely, that, you know, maybe Paul wasn't the most flowery of preachers. Or there's indications maybe his voice wasn't the most appealing, you know. I don't have a TV face, and I don't have a radio voice. I don't have either one, you know, but the Lord's kind of stuck me here for now. And so we go on by the grace of God. And that's what Paul's going to go on to talk about. And I thought I'd get further today, but I didn't. But that's okay. So we serve a sovereign God, and we can trust in him. And folks, if we know Christ, we've all experienced those things. We were elected in eternity. We were redeemed by Christ in time. And the Holy Spirit's given us life and brought us to embrace the gospel of our salvation. And that's what the bottom line is. And we'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 218, God Be With You, number 218. God be with you till we meet again. Number 218.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel God uphold you. With his strength securely hold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet. God, he whispers till we meet again. When life's perils think confound you, put his arms on Phil and round you. God, he whispers till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Deep love's banner floating o'er you. Sigh against the breaking way before you. God be with you till we meet again.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the privilege to gather. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. I pray your hand upon them in the coming week, that you guide and that you use us. Father, we thank you for your eternal love. We were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Christ redeemed his people. And the Holy Spirit gave us life, repentance, and faith that we might then hear and embrace the gospel of our salvation. Father, in the light of those things, may we live lives that reflect whose we are. Father, we pray for all our sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Lord, we pray for grace and courage to stand in these days in which we live. Father, we pray for those that need your healing. I think particular of Heather Lovelace, what medical science calls a terminal condition. Lord, we know that rests in your hand. We pray that you might give that family peace and comfort. Father, we pray for my Aunt Lean's family with her passing, with her going home to the Lord. That you be with my cousins, with their children, with my mom who's lost a sister. That you give peace and comfort as you alone can. And we rest in your sovereignty and your love. Father, I just pray that you be with each of us. Use us to your glory. Help us to be the servants you would have us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We can open and hear from on high. Thank you, Lord, for preserving that word and for preserving your churches. And we thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.